If we flood our lives with lust and pornography and sexual sin and sexual impurity, if we flood our lives with gossip and division, if we flood our lives with vanity and obsessed with physical appearance and self and pride, if we flood our lives with friends that lead us away from the things of Jesus Christ, let us not be surprised when our salt has been adulterated.
Welcome to Live in the Light today, listeners. This is Shannon here, your host for the show today, and I am in the studio with Pastor Robbie, and we are talking about today's message from Matthew chapter 5 called Sent as Salt. Last time we established that God saves us to send us out and share the good news with others, and today we're talking about salt. Why is that, Robbie? How do we go from missions to preservatives?
Wow, what a lead-in right there, Shannon. Right? Well done. That's so great. Again, we are going through life on mission that our God is a God on mission. He has sent his son that we might be saved. And if we are saved in Jesus Christ, listen, everyone listening right now, this is so, so important. If you have been saved, without question, you have been sent.
Amen.
You have been sent by the Lord with the purpose of the gospel to see other lives changed. I've got to say that one more time, okay? Again, if you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been saved by him, you are sent by him specifically today as salt and light. This fundamental passage from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, so powerful, so beautiful, so convicting, but also so encouraging as well. I love one of the lines today too, Shannon, as we understand Jesus teaches us that we are sent as salt to delay the decay of the society around us. That is powerful. It's kind of strange in some ways too, but it's also very biblical and very pure. We are there as light in the darkness. Our mission, it's not easy. It comes with cost. There is suffering, but it's packed with power and potential. So again, we are sent as salt and light. Lots of questions. Let's get those questions answered now. We're excited to be in Matthew 5, and Shannon, you can take us from here.
Sure. Today's message comes from a passage you've probably heard many times before. Hey, maybe you haven't memorized, but are you living it out? Are you salt and light in your world? Open your Bible right now, if you can, to Matthew 5, verse 13, and we will get into today's message with Pastor Robbie.
Full day today, encouraging day today. If you get your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be continuing in our series called Life on Mission. Our tagline, again, which I appreciate, from saved to sent, from saved to sent, the reality for all those in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just by way of recap, I think it's good to stir us up by way of reminder. Maybe some weren't here last weekend. We have learned the beautiful theology, this, that our God is ascending God, and that's his nature. Our God is ascending God, his heart, his outward facing, again, disposition, the desire to bless and bless. This has been the whole theme throughout scripture. We've also learned that all Christ followers obviously have been saved by Christ. So all genuine Christ followers have been saved by Christ, but this also is theologically necessary. They've also then been sent for Christ. So you can't sit here today, okay, whether Orangeville, what's up? I'm so glad you're here. Overflow, whatever it is. I said Orange Flow. That's awesome. So yeah, they understand. But whether you're here right now, and if you are saved in Jesus Christ, then you were also sent. You don't get to divide that. No, I'm saved, not sent. Not allowed. Bible doesn't permit you to do that, okay? You have to understand that. You're saved by Christ. You're also sent for Christ in some form, in some way, in some manner. Why? Because we carry, as those saved in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. We have the DNA of God within us. And God's DNA is to send and to love and to bless others again. We've also learned this. Every single one of us, again, alive in Jesus Christ. Listen, you have been placed by divine purpose where you are. We don't always feel that's the case. Some of us can get kind of grumpy about certain situations, but the reality is
You have been placed by God with your life, where you are, again, with divine purpose to be used by God and the people that you interact with and the places, again, that you belong. So again, this is what God does in us. He places, again, his spirit. We are saved and born again. And then the DNA starts to come out of us as the more we grow like the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important. We draw closer to him. And then the desire to be sent should grow in our hearts as well. It's amazing how this works, right? So we think of so many stories in the Gospels. In Mark chapter 5, the man who is severely oppressed by a demon, and he is powerfully and entirely delivered by Jesus. And he realizes what happened. And Jesus says, after he's delivered, go and tell how much God has done for you. So Jesus saves and sends. He sends. And then the man goes and he rejoices, and anyone who would listen, he's telling them about the glory, the power of Jesus who delivered him from such a place. You notice that in that story, do you notice that the man, when he tells the story of Jesus, he didn't take a theology class? Do you notice that? Do you notice he never had some discipleship program or evangelism, whatever? Do you notice that he had the story of Christ in his heart and life, and he just takes that and he can't help but tell of what Jesus has done for him, right? I say that too because one of Satan's lies is, well, you don't know enough to share. Well, if Jesus saved you, you got a story, bro, sis. Okay. And you, wherever you are, you can just say that. Just like, Jesus saved me, set me free. Jesus, again, I was dead, now I'm alive. That's good. Say that story. I'm listening. Others will listen too. Okay. This is the reality. Again, the moment we are saved, then we are absolutely sent to be a blessing for others with the message of the gospel and the love of Christ to be seen through our lives. So that's kind of the foundation where we're at. I know a lot of people will be asking, well, okay, well, what does my life being sent look like? Or what do you mean by being sent? And so Jesus for us is super clear today. Jesus explains it this way. He says, listen, you are sent as salt and you are sent as light. So we have a familiar text today, a beautiful text today, a very important text today as well. I just gotta take a moment to pray. Just have to. Everything in me needs to, wants to. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I pray for your power today. I pray for your teaching today. I pray for your transformation today among your people. Such a big deal, Lord. I pray that all of us in one way or another would hear, receive, be so encouraged. I pray for faith to grow. I pray for supernatural moments, supernatural time in your word right now, supernatural response. I pray for tremendous encouragement. Again, what? To what matters? To life in Christ, to live for the gospel, to be disciples of Jesus Christ. In this world that is dark and dead, this world is dying, we pray that you will use us and this church to bring such life and light and love. May it be so. May it be so. Help us, Father, now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 13, take a look. Sermon on the Mount, obviously. Jesus had begun with the Beatitudes, really focusing on character, and now he moves to conduct. The conduct of those that are firmly rooted in Christ. Verse 13, you, followers of Jesus, are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. He says in verse 14, you, listen to this, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Here's the application. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So simple today, but I believe profound today. As Christ followers, number one, take this and digest this. We are sent as supernatural salt. As genuine followers of Christ, we are sent as supernatural salt, specifically salt of the earth. That's exactly what Jesus says in the first part of verse 13. Why is this significant, right? Well, salt was used in ancient times for preservation. That was the primary use of salt. In our day, we throw things in the refrigerator. Obviously, first century, they didn't have that option, right? Salt was used to effectively and primarily preserve meat. A salt, listen, was literally used to delay the decay. It was used to delay the decay, again, of things like meat. So that's very important insight for us as we gather the principle of what Jesus is teaching for his followers, okay? We have learned in the past, some of us, we need to keep hearing. Jesus is teaching this. For every genuine Christ follower, okay? Listen, again, take this as we're commissioning Hope Hamilton. We're all commissioned today. Commissioned by Jesus in this text. Every genuine Christ follower, you are sent and commissioned, listen, to delay the moral and spiritual decay of the world. Got to say that again. Every single one of us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved in Christ. You are saved and sent as supernatural salt to delay the moral and spiritual decay of the earth. We are sent as supernatural salt. Why would we say we have supernatural salt? Because if we're saved in Christ, we have a supernatural Holy Spirit in us, and we carry a supernatural message. It is the only message that brings people from death to life. It is the message of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we are sent as supernatural salt. This has been the power of the church again from the beginning. Christ's followers are sent with truth. To what? To save people from the lies of Satan. Christ's followers are sent with the gospel, the good news, to lead people away from corruption and death. Christ's followers are sent with the fruit of the Spirit, right? Why? To delay the decay of evil and wickedness that surrounds them. Christ's followers are sent with the wisdom of God to combat the foolishness, arrogance, and ignorance of man. What's fascinating to me then is the church is sent, listen, really to act as a restraint against the sinfulness of society. And that's what the faithful, Spirit-empowered church absolutely does. We are sent then as salt to delay the decay and corruption and rotting that is around us. It's amazing and remarkable to say out loud. Say, well, what does this look like? So many ways. It looks like so many different things. It's a university student in the midst of friends presents a different worldview pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are being salt in that moment. It is a business person that stands for godliness in the midst of hard pressure towards sin and explaining why they are doing that. You are being salt in that moment. It's the school teacher that humbly and boldly stands for truth, upholding righteousness in an otherwise corrupt, maybe moral environment. You are salt in that moment. It is the boss that prays that he or she will have Christ-like love for their staff and leads with honesty and integrity and humility. You are salt in that moment. It is the parent who is pushing back in love, but grace and truth against transgender ideology. Again, you are salt in that moment in a powerful way. Just this past week, again, the horrific events of Charlie Kirk being assassinated. We can take the politics out of it. If you take Charlie Kirk for who he was, his faith in God, his faith in Jesus Christ, his commitment to the Word of God, his belief in God's plan for the family, and his design again for what actually makes a wholesome, a fruitful society, you take him on that level, and he was some very serious salt. And God, amen. We're clapping, clap for that. And we don't understand why things happen like this for someone, again, so effectively using a time, but God will always have his salt. Always, always, always. And in the end, things will make sense to us. In the meantime, we grieve and we pray, but we are not diminished again in what we are called to do in understanding the theology that we are supernatural salt. Again, I need you. Again, all those alive in Jesus Christ, you got to take this on yourself today. It's exciting. It's serious. It's important. What an amazing opportunity. But here's what happens when salt goes out, right? Here's what happens. Jesus is kind of alluding this to. Some they will want nothing to do with the salt. Some will mock the salt. Some will reject the salt. Some, as we see, will seek to kill the salt. But others, when they see the salt and when they hear the salt, they are desperately searching and they will say, please pass the salt. Many will do that. Many will do that. Many are doing that right now. Because what happens is the salt stands out. The salt is different, as Jesus indicates, from the rest of the world. The salt sends a message of truth and righteousness. The salt is act of love and grace and kindness. The salt stands out. And people see the salt and they notice the salt, whether they like it or don't like it, but they see the salt. And many will be so attracted to the power of the salt. And they will say, I need to learn more about the salt and what's happening right there. You know, it's so fascinating to me too. I've listened to several podcasts and there's much written about this too. Right now, there's quantifiable, measurable statistics of the young generation, Gen Y, Gen Z, and never before, let's just say, in recent memory, turning towards the things of the Christian faith. There are quiet revivals happening. Because what's happening is the young generation has tried the world and the world's been found wanting. See, because it'll never work. And so the promises the world makes are never fulfilled. 10:30's clapping today. I like 10:30 when they clap. I like that. I do need to say, like, the 12:30 is our clappiest service, all right? They clap all the time. The 10:30 is giving them a run for their money right now, okay? And that's exciting too, okay? But again, what's happening is the young people are searching and the world says they just, and it never provides. So misery, depression, suicide, discouragement, all these things are happening. And they're like, there must be more. There is more. His name is Jesus Christ. So what happens is, again, so we have opportunities now. Like, I'm meeting them. Are you meeting them? They're coming into our church, but they're all over the place. Every one of us alive in Jesus Christ are surrounded by lives desperately wanting to hear the reason that we believe. Now, we will also have people that won't want to hear, but there's people that are around us that do want to hear the reason and the hope for which we believe, 1 Peter 3. And this is what Jesus is commissioning us with excitement and faith, that he wants to use all of us in one way or another. And so we have to decide, are we going to take Jesus seriously or are we going to kind of go our own path? Opportunities everywhere. This past summer, I was coming back from the airport and I jumped in an Uber. And I just wanted to, when I tell these stories, I want you to know, okay, I get in the car, I'm tired. Like, my preference is to sit there and say nothing, okay? Like, I'm not a small talk guy. I'm not sure if you noticed, but I'm not a small talk guy. And so I'm sitting in the car, and like everything within my natural kind of disposition is just gonna sit there and whatever. And then we're getting in the car, and then I just, there's this man, I find out, he's a young guy. He's been in Canada 2 years. He's from India. And, you know, you're kind of going along, and then somehow we start talking about how's Canada, what's it like, what do you think, what are the differences, whatever, and I say, man, I just trying to kind of, an opportunity to talk about something a little deeper. I said something like this, man, I sure hope Canada doesn't remove from the foundations of where it began, just as the way to try to get back to the root, the worldview of God, again, founded on Christian principles, the truth, whatever, I believe this nation was founded upon. And then he kind of interested in that, talks a little bit. In the end, though, he's Hindu, has been his whole life. I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Have you ever heard about what is the Christian faith? Like, do you know what it is? He goes, I just know there's like a guy named Jesus. And I said, can I tell you what it actually means to be a genuine follower of Jesus? And so what happened was we started to talk, and I was like, Lord, help me in the moment, right? To be clear and concise. I realized that for the first time in this man's existence, he was hearing about the message of the Christian faith and Jesus Christ specifically. And you're like, you know, like you're sitting in the back seat, tired and again, wanting maybe just to be quiet, but then you have the ability to be salt in the midst of a world that is decaying. Reggie McNeil, he said this. He said, we are to be the aroma or flavor of Jesus in a cemetery of decaying flesh. That hit me. And that's really well said. Hey, loved ones, this is a theological accuracy. We are the aroma or flavor of Jesus Christ, surrounded and in the midst of a cemetery of decaying flesh. You can spin it any way you want to and try to pretend and convince yourself it's not what it is, but the reality is you're with Christ and have life, or you reject Christ and you face eternal death. That's the reality. The Bible is so explicitly clear. And this is what motivates us in love and compassion and grace to say, it's not about whether I'm rejected or accepted. It's whether I'm faithful to the message Jesus Christ has entrusted me with. And I want to be a salt that preserves. I want to be a salt that prevents decay. I want to be a salt that presents life. But notice what Jesus says in verse 13, right after this. He says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Isn't this interesting? So the other use of salt, of course, is flavor. And Jesus is like, hey, you're the salt of the earth, but he gives this really big warning now of what it means to be salt. Salt, technically, chemically speaking, is a very stable compound. technically speaking, salt cannot lose its taste. I think what Jesus is referring to here is salt, though, can be adulterated. In the ancient world, when salt was mixed with, let's say, sand, then it instantly became useless, good for nothing. Throw it on the ground, trample it. So what is Jesus getting at here? Well, it's a significant warning for Christ followers to watch out for sand of the world that adulterates the salt of the believer. So what do you mean, like sand? Well, think about it. What will produce more sand in our lives than sin? It's sin that ruins our salt for Jesus Christ. Nothing hinders effectiveness for Jesus Christ more than sin in our lives, right? So again, this is an important moment. So therefore, if we flood our lives with the love of money and greed, if we flood our lives with lust and pornography and sexual sin and sexual impurity, if we flood our lives with gossip and division, if we flood our lives with vanity and obsessed with physical appearance and self and pride, if we flood our lives with friends that lead us away from the things of Jesus Christ, let us not be surprised when our salt has been adulterated. Let us not be surprised when we have no affection for Jesus. Let us not be surprised when we're not wanting to witness for Christ. Let us not be surprised we capitulate to the pressures of the culture. Let us not be surprised when we're drawing to social media than we are to the Word of God. Let us not be surprised again when we don't desire to be used of Christ because our salt has been adulterated by sand. Let us not be surprised. That's the answer for some right now, right here. The reason we have not been effective in witness for Christ is because, the truth be told, the sand of the world and the sand of sin has more impact upon our hearts than Jesus does. So for some of us here right now, Overflow, Orangeville, here right now, for some of us, the first point of response and application to live a life on mission right now is to repent of the sand that has adulterated our salt. To repent of that, to ask for forgiveness, and ask the Lord to cleanse us and to purify us from such worldliness and sinfulness that we might be now ready to be used and that our salt would not be useless and thrown on the ground and trampled underfoot. See, but in the end, again, in the end, this amazing, amazing privilege and truth for every single Christ follower, we have been sent as supernatural salt. Amazing. Let's go to number two now. Number two, we've also been sent as light in the darkness. We've been sent as light in the darkness. Look at verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." An amazing passage here, so good to digest and to digest often. Here are three necessary subpoints from verses 14 to 16. Number one is this, know this, I must embrace that I am light. I must embrace that Jesus teaches me right now that I am light. Notice when Jesus says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world." Notice he doesn't say you will be the light. He doesn't say you should be the light. He doesn't say you might be the light one day. Rather, he turns to his genuine followers and he says, you are the light of the world. That hits me. You are the salt of the earth. You know, in a world that's desperate for purpose and meaning and identity, so many depressed and without meaning, every single genuine Christ follower, you carry the identity and purpose and meaning for your life that you are the light of Jesus Christ. Hey, so the next time you're getting your resume together, you can put this beside your name, light of the world, light of the world. Now do it humbly, but do it, right? Now, again, I speak truth today, right? This is your reality if you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the light of, I am the light of the world. It staggers me. It's mind-boggling. And yet it's true. Jesus tells us right now, well, it's not us, it's him in us. It's the Holy Spirit, the very light of God, his word placed again within us. We are the light of the world. So think about it, loved ones. We are entrusted as light. We are entrusted with a stewardship with this life that we live as light. Pastor Greg prayed this over Greg and Elena earlier today, Ephesians 5:8. It says this, Ephesians 5:8, "For at one time you were darkness." That's before Christ. That's before salvation. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Amazing. And notice the implications. You are light in the Lord. Now walk as children of light. Walk. Because, listen, I must embrace that I am light. If I'm saved in Jesus Christ, I must embrace that I am light. So imagine then Jesus says, you are the light. And we're like, okay, cool. Now you go hide it. No. That doesn't make any sense. So the second sub point is this. I want to position my light. I must position my light. Look at verse 15 now. A city and hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house, right? So that makes perfect sense. The point of a light is not to hide it under a basket or a blanket. No. The point of a light, it is positioned in the proper place to give light to all that are in the house. So listen, Christ's followers must position their light so that it shines. Are we positioning our light in a place where it shines, right? We can't hide our light. That's what Jesus says. You're not given the stewardship of light and then hiding the light. No way, right? As the song says, right? Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I need more people to say no. Way to go, Michael. I can count on Michael in the front row here. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
There you go. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Come on. Let it shine. Let it shine. Amen. It's so good, right? It's so good. And that's so true. God's given me this light. Well, then how can I hide it? Remember, one of the beautiful reasons we plant Hope Hamilton is because we're positioning their light in a way that we cannot right now as Hope Oakville. We are sending them out as salt and light to position their light in the darkness in a place where God will use in a very powerful way. This happens as His church. This happens again as individuals all over the place. So you might ask right now, okay, position my light. Well, how do I do that? Can you get a little bit practical? Are there applications of how I can position my light? There are thousands of applications for this. Let's just take one series of applications. How do I position my light? Well, the first thing is this. I must engage others. Like I must put myself in places with others, people, where my light can be seen. Right? Like that should be obvious. It's hard to shine my light from the couch binge watching a TV series, right? I can't hide all the time and not be willing to engage with others so that no one's ever going to see my light. So here are some very practical applications. Again, just a couple of thousands, right? How can I engage? How can I shine light right now? Well, here's some examples. Here's some suggestions. Walk in your neighborhood often around the same time. Seeking to meet people, seeking to strike up conversations, seeking to be used in this way. Kind of in the same light, use repeat visits to grocery stores, haircuts, coffee shops, and so on, where you're establishing relationships, you see people, you have the chance to be familiar and to be known. By the way, there's many of you that are very, very good at this. And, you know, some of us, again, just that's not our personality, but we have to find ways that we can engage others with the light. And you can be so creative in this, right? In the ways that we can do that. But there has to be a heart that wants to do it. Intentionally meet people in your building. Maybe that's your context, right? You're there and you are purposely seeking acts of kindness and love to be light that people will notice. Utilize hobbies for engagement with others. That's a big one as well, right? You're doing the hobby you love, but how can we incorporate that in new ways, whether it's a gym or whatever other things are there? Play amateur sports. This has been a great thing for me in my life and just even coaching now, all the stuff to get out of the bubble and to get in, to be around people, to try to shine light. Here's some more suggestions. Volunteer alongside others in your community. Parents or relevant, again, individuals, get involved in your child's school, what to be light. Participate in city events. Be there, be seen, engage.
These messages aired each day are made possible by Live in the Light Power Partners, a generous group of donors who have pledged to give at least $30 a month to see the gospel advance. If you'd like to become a Power Partner or learn more about our ministry at Live in the Light, please visit our website at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for listening today, and please join us again next time here on Live in the Light.